Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
Oh, so get this. We got a letter from a listener in the UK today. Isn't that something?
Small world, isn't it?
Well, apparently this little podcast of ours is starting to take big leaps and bounds, and kind of neat after, what is it now, 61 shows, I think, tonight.
Blimey, it's a good thing.
So anyway, that's kind of interesting news as of right now. Anything else new in the world?
Well, not so much for me, but I understand you have a few stories to tell. Why don't you share some of your little adventures, or as we might want to call them, misadventures?
Well, where do I start? As I promised a listener last week, we were going to talk about carp in the future, and I kind of had today slated for talking about carp. Well, I think this is going to trump carp, and we'll talk about that next week or the week after. Get this, Sunday morning, I woke up to go fishing early. There's a joke in itself, folks, if you've ever listened to this show.
Yeah, this is the guy that's usually up about the crack of 10. That's before coffee, so we're not talking about an early riser here.
I got up at about 7:45, which is really early for me, and was going to go northern fishing in Devil's Lake early. Got up, made some coffee, sat and watched Fish in the Wild Side, because I haven't seen an episode yet this season. I believe they were doing some bass fishing and some walleye fishing, so kind of got my blood pumping there. I'm all excited, loaded up. My wife and I are going to head out to one of my favorite pike holes. Oh, my God. Coming down the road, I noticed it hadn't been plowed. Kind of crummy on Saturday. Snow blind beyond belief. I'm sure you've experienced snow blindness in your life, Brad.
I've seen it once or twice.
Anyway, coming over the hill, ice access is in view. Looks a little hairy, but tolerable. Got some tire tracks through it. Next thing I know, I'm up to the running boards in snow, and I'm not going anywhere with 100 yards of rock-hard snow drift on the road in front of me and in back of me.
That's not a good position to be in, and it's one of those things where, usually if my experience is any indication, that by the time you realize what's happened, it's too late. You're into it now, and there's really no turning back. So I imagine at that point it was, what, break out the shovel?
Well, normally, of course you got to try to rock it out first, because any good North Dakotan, that's what you're going to do. You're going to throw it in reverse and throw it and drive and try to rock it out, and that wasn't working. But I thought ahead. I had my tow rope with. I had my shovel with, because I was expecting the chance of getting stuck. I just thought I'd get on the ice before I got stuck. Anyway, so I got out and shoveled. That wasn't that difficult. Got in the truck and rocked it. And, normally I find when you get stuck, it's easier to back out the trail you came when you get it rocking. It just wasn't going to happen on this one. The only way out of this one was actually bust forward through 100 yards of rock hard snow, about anywhere from 8 inches to about 18 inches deep. So it was rock about 15 yards, get stuck, shovel out again, rock again, rock again, rock again. And then I got to the blank spot in the road where there was an act right before the access. So I stopped and got out and looked at the access, and oofta, it was a good 3-foot drift for another 100 yards at that. And I just said, no dice here, turned it around on the road and just floored it, and had to go back through all the crap I had just busted through, and got stuck one more time in that and had to get myself out. By that time, I was so hot, so tired, so sweaty, I don't want to fish anymore. So I went home.
And I would imagine with the wife, the fun meter was probably beginning to drop a little bit too.
Well, I don't know if she really knew what to think. I don't think she's ever been that stuck before, so she just kind of was quiet, because I'm sure my vocabulary was covering enough for both of us.
I know that vocabulary. One can pick up all kinds of new words during those kinds of situations. So how long did this whole adventure last? I mean, you must have been looking at an hour or better.
I think I buried it at about 8:45, and I rolled into my garage at the cabin at a hair after 10:30, and I was only 3 miles away.
Amazing, but it does kind of dampen your enthusiasm for fishing a little bit, I would imagine. But I understand there's more.
Oh, yeah, it gets better. So now I'm home, I'm rested, showered, and I had gotten word that there was a good walleye bite going on last week down in Creel Bay, which is kind of what I consider my home stomping waters of Devil's Lake. It, as any bay goes, that's probably one I spend more time in than any other. So I decided to go down for the walleye bite, drove out, didn't even get my house set up, and I buried the four-wheeler. Great. But that was not a big deal. Little rock, and just jumped off, and, you know, I'm a short, fat guy, so just get the extra added weight off the tires, and that just climbed right out, so no problem. Then drilled the holes, got everything sealed up, set up, heaters on, dropped the Vexilar in the hole. Great. I'm right on top of a tree. Just what I want to do, lose a few jigs.
You know, it's funny how that works. I mean, you begin a weekend, you're excited about the fact that you've got a couple of days off, you get to do some fishing. I mean, in your case, you even had a long weekend. And then all of a sudden, things just don't quite go according to plan. I mean, you know, part of what you battled last weekend was weather. We had kind of a nasty weather system come through. I mean, you know, we had a mix of wind and rain and snow, kind of miserable conditions that way. And, I mean, there's a lot of snow up in this part of the world right now already, you know, from some of the earlier weather systems we've had blow through. Winter arrived a little bit late, but it certainly did get here. And, you know, you hit that kind of a situation, and you roll the dice, and it comes up wrong. And, boy, you can have a real, you know, a less than ideal time out on the ice, I guess you would say.
Well, this whole story took us 6 minutes to tell. And the moral of the story is, after watching Chip Lear catch bass, and Saturday evening watching the folks at WDAY and Dwayne Peterson from Northland Tackle pound on big northerns in open water, that's it. I'm sick of ice. I'm ready for spring. In fact, I went and got my rods ready on Monday when I was killing time because I had it. I was done ice fishing for that time. And granted, there's going to be a couple more ice fishing trips this year, but I am officially ready for open water. That's the moral of the story.
You know, I think that's a universal theme here across the Northland. You know, unless you're just an extremely hardcore, you know, maybe crazy would be a better word, ice fishing fanatic. If you're just a normal average fisherman, it's time to put away the short rods and start thinking about getting the boat out and spending some time in open water. It's a glorious thought right now. And I mean, I like ice fishing as much as the next guy, but I really have to agree with you. It's time to move on.
Well, before we get into open water plans, I do want to back up because all winter on ice fishing, we've been ranting about slush and there's no safe ice and bring your picks and bring your rope and bring your life jackets. The one thing we never once mentioned, Brad, was bring your tow rope and your shovel for when you bury your pickup. And fortunately for me, for once in my life, I actually thought to throw that in. So keep this in the memory banks, folks, for next year. Shovel and tow rope is always a good thing to add to the collection of safety equipment when you're heading out on ice.
You know, it's funny you should mention that because I finally broke down last week and invested for the very first time ever in a tow rope. And the reason I did it is because a coworker called up and had a car stuck in a snowbank and wondered if I could pull him out. Well, I had the vehicle to pull him out with, but I didn't have a rope. And so it took a little time to find one. Once I did, I was set. And then I started thinking, well, what if I get myself in this situation? I'm going to need one of these things too. And relatively small investment, but I'm set now, and it's worth its weight in gold when you need it, let me tell you.
Well, even my tow rope story goes back 2 years. We were out deer hunting with some friends, and we were following them, going to meet them up at a field, and we're following them, and here they are buried in a snowbank. And we came up behind them. Well, I don't have a tow rope. I didn't even have a shovel in the truck, but fortunately they had a tow rope, so we were able to hook on and pull out and pull them out backwards. But, you know, that day I thought, you know, a tow rope in my pickup for all this stuff I do probably wouldn't be a bad idea. But it took 2 whole years before I finally broke down and bought one. And the only reason I bought one is because I got my snowplow stuck in my driveway.
Well, it's a good thing you had that little misadventure, because it probably, you know, it's going to serve you well sometime down the road. You know, obviously, Sunday was a day of frustration, I guess probably the whole weekend was on a certain level, but I am looking forward to spring and open water, but there are still a couple of, you know, noteworthy opportunities, I guess, as far as ice fishing goes. One of them, I know you've been in touch as well with our buddy Stu up at Cats on the Red, and sounds like there's some good things happening right now near the mouth of the Red where it enters Lake Winnipeg. Apparently, it's one of those situations where, you know, kind of a common deal on river systems where the rivers flow into a lake. walleyes will stack up, and they're starting to think about making their upstream migration in the spring. And right now, they're having a pretty good bite on some walleyes. Pretty good numbers of fish. They haven't gotten any real monsters yet, but I tell you what, a 24-inch walleye tugging on the end of my line, I wouldn't would not complain about that at all.
Well, and another thing in Stu's report from last week is bring your tow rope and your shovel. You're probably going to need it.
Now that you mention it, yes, because he tried the same thing. He the first time they went out, they had actually used an ATV and were able to skate right over the crust of the snow. Well, second time, decided maybe he'd just try his truck and see if that would work. Found out the hard way that wouldn't work so well. And especially now with, you know, some of the moderating temperatures we're having, you know, the opportunity, at least here in the Northland, for getting stuck if you're dealing with lakes and ice situations, they're pretty good right now, so be careful. It's probably the underlying theme of this show. Be prepared.
And folks, there's still 3 weeks left in the walleye pike season up in Manitoba, so I'm sure Stu's got some rooms that he'd be happy to set you up in and get you out on some of that Lake Manitoba bite, or maybe even out in the river if they find a bite there. So check them out on the web, catsontheread.net. Give them a call, send them an email, and I'm sure they'd be happy to put you up and get you on some fish. And if the stars align, I think we're going to experience that yet this year, I hope.
Well, I'm sure, you know, and I know you are as well. We're working really hard to figure out a way to get up there. Because, you know, what's going on there right now, that bite should only improve as we get later into March here. And, I mean, the other thing is we're not only talking about walleyes. I remember seeing some pictures from last year. Seems to me, you know, there was a group of them went out the very last day of season, and there were a couple of huge northern pike that were caught at the same time. We're talking 20-pound fish.
Hey, I'm not scared of pike. I'd jump on that, too, if the opportunity arose.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, they really have been the saving grace of this whole winter, at least for me. You know, some of my more frequented fishing spots have been a little tough for the walleyes. Not always, but I haven't been too proud to fish northern pike. And as a result, I've, you know, as for the most part, had plenty of action. And, you know, I'm not afraid of a little slime, and I've had a lot of fun with it.
And another noteworthy trip that we're going to keep under our hat for right now, still another ice trip, and hopefully there will be a couple shows dedicated to just this trip, and we're just going to keep that for a surprise. I think that's kind of the way to go with that, don't you?
Oh, I think that's an excellent plan. You know, like I say, there's a little bit of ice time left, but there's nothing wrong with a little bit of dreaming about some open water either. It's sure sounding good.
So moving on, let's see, what else do we got? Well, while I'm thinking of it, forgot this last week on the actual radio show, is we're still taking entries for the catfishing trip with Kent over at Trophy Cat Adventures. And this is a full day's guided. You can take one or two, maybe even three if you talk to them nice. People out for a day on the Red River, home of the Trophy Channel Cats, on us here at Why Fish. And all you got to do to enter is send us an email with your name, address, and telephone number to contest@whyfishradio.com, and we would be happy to put you in that drawing, which is going to happen the first part of May. So don't forget that, and while you're at it, just in case you don't win, start booking your trip with Kent, because he's filling up fast.
Absolutely, and I mean, you win that contest, all you need to do is get yourself up here to Grand Forks, North Dakota, and Kent will take care of the rest. I believe there's a fair bit of flexibility as far as scheduling this. I mean, rivers being what they are, you can't really count on, you know, throwing a date on the calendar and expecting it to happen down the road. I mean, floods happen, you know, weather conditions can be such that you can't get out, but it's especially the water level can be the issue as far as river fishing. But, you know, Kent's pretty flexible, and we saw it last year with our first contest, which was a huge success. And, you know, the lucky winner of that contest was treated to some of the best fishing he's probably had in his life. The Red River certainly lived up to expectations on that day.
Kent even admits that was probably the best day of guiding he's ever had as well.
Well, what a better time to do it. You know, like I say, it's a great river. I mean, we talk about it week in and week out about just how much fun this river is to fish. And, you know, I guess I have to say I'm looking forward to it, getting in that boat, watching the sunset, and maybe listening to the clickers on those reels scream a little bit. I'm ready for catfish.
Absolutely. So since we're on the subject of sponsors, don't forget today's tackle is one of our premier sponsors here at Why Fish, as long as the other two, Trophy Cat and Cats on the Red. And we're going to start changing gears a little bit. You know, another product I think that we've both used and like is the Wave Buster Bobber. Looks similar to the Ice Buster Bobber, only it's a little bit bigger, and it's got a weight on the bottom to keep it vertical. Slick, slick deal on a windy day.
Absolutely. I've used them in open water on a few occasions, and the thing is you can rig them up to use at night as well. All you need to do is take a little light stick, one of those little sticks you break, and all of a sudden they start to glow, and you can poke it in the end of the bobber, cast it out, and, I mean, there's no guesswork when those fish strike after dark. I mean, it's just one of those things, watching a bobber go down, and especially one that works well, is it's a real treat, and again, just kind of brings me back into that open water frame of mind.
So, for those of you thinking summer, go on the web, check them out, todaystackle.com, look up the Wave Buster Bobber, and for those of you ice fishing diehards, don't forget the Rod Rocker 2, and the Ice Buster Bobber is also available at that website. So, anything else going on we need to know about between now and again, we will get that carp show done sooner or later.
And yeah, I tell you what, we'll have a lot of fun with that one, too, because both of us have had a little bit of experience fishing carp. I mean, you know, we've grown up in a walleye society here, you know, where people will turn their noses up at so-called lesser fish. But I tell you what, if you want a rod-bending battle, that carp is a pretty good way to go. But that's fodder for another show, so I guess...
You know what else we should do before you close us out is we should maybe look and see if we get this trip to Lake Winnipeg, because Stu's a carp expert, and he would be a great guy to talk to about carp fishing.
He absolutely would, and one of the first times I went out and fished for carp exclusively was with Stu, right behind Cats on the Red. And I tell you what, we had just a blast. You know, talk about power. We're fishing from shore. The tackle, the gear was relatively simple, and we caught fish up to 20 pounds out there just in a couple hours. It was just a great time. So no doubt, you know, like Stu said, if you don't enjoy this, you might as well take up golf.
And he did.
But he still likes his carp fishing, so I haven't lost faith in him yet. So I guess on that note, we will wrap up this week's edition of Why Fish Radio. So until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.